Greetings, Tacoma. John Doherty here once again for KTAH 101.9's Climate Talk, the place where we talk about everything climate and always respectfully. Today we're going to be talking with Dick Murray. He's a nationally recognized expert and advocate for electric vehicles. Looking forward to hearing what he's got to say, so let's listen in. We're privileged, and I'll say personally delighted, to have Dick Murray. Dick, am I pronouncing your last name right? Is it Murray?
Murray.
Murray, okay.
Same with a little Italian flavor. Murray.
Okay, as an Irishman, I'll do my best with the Italian flavor thing. Dick has got a extensive history of community service and many awards in his history. Dick is right now talking to us from Steilacoom. We'll talk about Steilacoom a bit later on. He served in the Washington State Legislature, 28th Legislative District. He served in the Pierce County Council District 6 for many years. He's a Gulf War vet, spent 22 years in the Air Force. Many of those years, I believe, was at McCord, which may explain why he's living here in the Pacific Northwest. A lot of folks that serve at McCord, once they're finished with their years of service, have fallen in love with the Northwest, and here they are, and we're happy to have them. Most importantly, probably for today, Dick is the city captain for the National Drive Electric Week in Steilacoom, and we'll talk more about that along the way here. So, Dick, fantastic to have you with us. Thank you for coming.
Well, it's good to be here. And I arrived here in 1976, met a local girl, got married, lots of kids, happy wife, happy life, and she's from the local area, so that's why my family's in Massachusetts, and I'm here 3,000 miles away. So, but I love it here, too. Steilacoom reminds me of a little bit of a New England town. You know, it's when I first saw this place, I said, I got to live here. It looks
like home. I absolutely get that. Yep. Steilacoom is truly a town. It's one of those things that's kind of disappearing, unfortunately, I think, but it is a town. When you say a lot of kids, I got a lot of kids, too. So how many kids do you have?
I have 4 kids and 11 grandchildren. So,
well, congratulations on that. And I know they're a blessing in your life most of the time. My kids and grandkids are a blessing most of the time.
An interesting thing about my kids, besides lots of great things, 3 out of the 4 do drive electric. And obviously it was Dad's influence that helped that. But now that they are driving electric, they all say, Dad, this is hard for them to say, Dad, you were right.
That expression. Well, it's not a thing we as parents hear very often. I did hear an anecdote once about a woman was complaining to her mother about none of her kids ever thank her for anything. And her mother says, yeah, I know what you're talking about. So it's kind of a generational thing. So, you know, your comment about kids picking up on electric cars is an interesting point, because there's a lot of good evidence that as we do, let's call them good things, that impacts other people. They see us doing those things, and it spreads. So sometimes I feel like, well, what I do is just a drop in the bucket, but it does have an impact over time, especially with other folks that see what I'm doing. And one of the phrases that I use variously is that the least effective voice is the voice that's never raised. So if we don't put ourselves out there, we're not going to have an impact. And if we do, we are. So electric cars. So how did you get interested in electric cars in the first place?
Well, in early 2013, I was studying and I belonged to a couple websites. One is called safe.org. A lot of people probably don't know about that website, but it's Secure America's Future Energy. It's a think tank made of mainly the retired 4-star admirals and generals and business leaders. And the whole idea was to make America energy independent. And they have an all of the above, you know. But the main thing is to really make us less dependent on oil. And one of the things they push for is definitely, some people would agree with this, more drilling, but also less consumption. And I tell people, you know, probably can maintain 8 to 9 million barrels a day, but we consume 19 million barrels a day. So that's 10 million barrels a day at $60 a barrel. That's $600 million a day that leaves United States. And if you're really, truly America first, you know, buy American, you know, try to buy American products, you won't try to consume oil. And to me, that is a selling point for me. It's a selling point for a lot of people I know. And so the and electricity is all produced here in the Northwest, and we have a glut of it. We actually sell to California a lot of electricity, and sometimes at very cheap prices, because talking to energy managers, they say we have a glut here in the Northwest. So it's a product we use. It's it keeps money here, it keeps jobs here, and it's a great way to go. So I think, and it's our future, and it's also here in the Puget Sound. There's the pollution factor. Air pollution is one thing. It's probably not, you know, some of the ICE cars, internal combustion engine cars, the oil cars, don't produce as much air pollution. They all, at the end of their life, and I know a lot of people say, well, I only own a car 4 or 5 years, but somebody's going to own that car probably for average for 20 years. The last 5, 6 years of that car's life, it's going to be dropping crankcase oil. And that crankcase oil, unfortunately, gets onto the roads, and a lot of it eventually gets washed into the stream systems and ends up in Puget Sound. And it's not good for the health of our Puget Sound, whether it's for the salmon or the whales or just everybody in general. So oil pollution, air pollution in that order. And the other nice thing about it is less noise pollution. You know, it's a quiet car and it's fun to drive. And, you know, like I say, my wife thought it was crazy, but now she just loves driving that car. We do have a nice vehicle, also a 2009 Honda, which we rarely drive. I think we've driven it 4 times this year. You know, 4 times since the COVID started. I mean, once in a while, in fact, I mentioned to my wife the other day, I said, we probably should go start that Honda up and just take it out to the next era, drive it, make sure it works still. But it's we love driving our Nissan Leaf. It's a very comfortable car. And I tell you, I've persuaded hundreds of people to drive electric. And the main way I did that was through having my electric vehicle festivals. So in early 14, I was looking around about these meetups they had for electric vehicles, and they had 3 of them in the Puget Sound area, all in King County, one in Issaquah, one in Bellevue, and one in Seattle. And I said, I don't want to go up there. I said, why don't they have one in Pierce County? They said, well, why don't you start one? So I did, and started at Sunnyside Beach here in Steilacoom, had 19 cars, 40 people, and it's grown ever since. Now we got too big for the beach. And we're now, we shut off, close off downtown Steilacoom every year. And we have, in 2019, we had the 5th largest festival in the United States, 125 cars, about 1,000 people. And let me tell you, a lot of the people who come to these events, everybody asks me, how do you persuade somebody to drive an electric car? I says, I can't do that, but come to my festival. And the reason I say that, you're going to come there and the pre-COVID one, we had 32 different types of vehicles there, everything from electric motorcycles to a Pierce Transit bus to electric bicycles, motorcycles, and cars. And these cars are driven by people. So you're not talking to a dealer who's going to try to sell you a car. You're going to talk to different people who are going to say, this is why I drive what I do. This is the pros. This is the cons. And you can spend 4 hours there and you can literally, you know, travel the whole universe of different types of vehicles. And I'm looking forward in 2021 when I do my 8th annual, which will be on September 11th. I always do it the Saturday after Labor Day. It's before the weather gets too wet. And, we love the rain here in Washington, but a lot of people don't like to stand out looking at cars in the middle of a rainstorm, you know, so
I'm absolutely looking forward to. Looking forward. I was disappointed, along with you and everybody else, that we were unable to do that event because of the COVID. A couple of things that I wanted to pick up on that you commented on there, just to sort of reinforce your whole point about if we drive electric vehicles, money that we'd be sending to some other place stays right here in the Pacific Northwest. And as you say, we have a bounty of clean hydroelectricity here. And by the way, I have a Leaf also. I have a 2018 Leaf. I love that vehicle. And I feel really good about using electricity that was hydro-generated when I drive my car, that I'm doing a doing my part for a clean environment. One of the things you said was when you first suggested to your wife that you buy an electric vehicle, she thought you were crazy. What was it that she thought was crazy?
Well, she just didn't understand I was going to have a car that runs on a battery. You know, it sounds like a toy, you know, and when I first got it, she humors me and got it and she drove it. And she said, oh, this is pretty nice, you know, but, you know, and then at first you have range anxiety, but, you know, I said, honey, you know, we get 100 to 120 mile range. If you're going to go more than 120 miles that day, then maybe you think about driving the Honda. Well, She never goes that far. You know, she's, you know, maybe to Costco or a medical appointment or to visit somebody or something like that, 30, 40, 50 miles. And then we plug it in. And, you know, we don't even look at it anymore. You know, you get home at the end of the day, you plug it in just like you plug in your phone, you plug in your watch. Nowadays, everything is plugged in, you know, and it's just great. Push a button, it goes on. Instant heat for the seats, instant heat for the wheels. It's really, really nice. And everybody talks about whether you need a special charger at house. Well, I do have. Actually, my new house. We moved after 39 years to a new house here 2 years ago, but we have two level two chargers in our car garage, even though I only have one car that drives electric, planning for the future. But for the first 4 years of my life, I just plugged it into a wall outlet, level one. And that was suffice. And I just happened to, get a free charger. And so I installed that with an electrician, and level two is better, but you can survive on level one, especially if you get one of these new cars. If you get a Chevy Bolt with 240, 250 mile range, level one charge plugging in a regular wallet will give you about 50, 60, 70 miles a day. And so you'll never be behind. You just plug it in. You know, you don't need the level two, and if you ever do go on a long trip that day, you can always stop at a commercial charger if you really need to fill up rapidly. So my son, I have two sons that live in Boise, Idaho. One drives a Chevy Bolt. The other one drives a Nissan Leaf. The Chevy Bolt, he just, you know, he says that I don't even look at it. I have no idea what how many miles I have left. I drive all around, do all my stuff every day, and get home, I plug it in. it just goes.
So I know that folks are thinking about buying electric vehicles do worry about this whole range thing. And I noticed in myself, my first month or two, I was like, do I have enough electricity all the time? But that's all gone away, and it's just a natural process, I think. And I do, like you do, I do have a level two charger in my house. Didn't cost much to hook up. An electrician hooked it up right to my panel for less than $100 for parts and labor. Of course, my car came with a cable with the car. I didn't have to buy that. But just plug her in. And we drive over to the coast periodically, and I'll plug in the car to 110 outfit. We don't drive much over there, and has plenty of juice to get over the coast and back. So range, I don't know. We just kind of adapt to looking at our vehicle that way, and it's not a big deal after a little bit. So you've talked a lot about the good stuff about electric vehicles, and I certainly agree with you. I mean, I'm totally enthusiastic about electric vehicles, but what downsides do you possibly see with electric vehicles?
Well, the challenge is the upfront capital costs. You know, they're going to run between $5,000 and $10,000 more. Unfortunately, other than Tesla and GM right now, they get the $7,500 tax break. I'm hoping Congress changes that to allow Tesla and GM the $7,500 tax break. And the reason they don't get the tax break anymore, there was a limit. You can only sell 200,000 vehicles. I think Nissan maybe not even do it either. So they are being penalized for being out front selling electric vehicles. And so, but the price of these things are coming down because there are more competition, more numbers with the manufacturing rate, and the price of batteries is coming down. This is the big thing. Batteries, not only the price coming down, but the weight per kilowatt hour. It was when 2011, if you bought a Nissan Leaf, the cost of the battery was $1,000 per kilowatt hour. And those were 24 kW batteries. Think about it, the car battery was $24,000. Today, it's down to $150 per kilowatt hour. And they expect by 2025 that to be down to about $75 per kilowatt hour. And so the price of the battery has come down. Electric rates are great here in the Pacific Northwest. Averages 8 cents a kilowatt hour, which means for our Nissan Leaf, we get 4 miles per kilowatt hour. So that's 2 cents a mile. And everybody says, what does this do to your electric bill? Well, I drive 1,000 miles a month. Well, I used to. I'm driving about 700 a month now. But if 700 a month, that would be $14. My electric bill is over $200. You know, I get, you know, my refrigerator, my water heater, my heating. I got two heat pumps. You know, that's all. That's the amount of electricity used for the car is small potatoes compared to everything else, and it doesn't really cost a lot of money. And so, if you look at the money I save in oil changes, maintenance. You know, I've been driving electric now for 8 years. I've never had any maintenance other than change tires once. And rotate the tires, and that's it. You know, so I had my brakes checked after 35,000 miles, and the guy said, "You know, you've used 10% of your brakes." And these new electric cars, you can probably the brakes will last a lifetime. They'll last 1,000,000 miles. And the reason is, and as you know, it's you don't even have to use the brakes anymore. It's called one pedal driving, and you know you accelerate to move forward, and you come left off the pedal to decelerate to all the way to a stop. And so you actually have to have a positive push to go. And that's because when you let up on the pedal, and again, you and I know this, the car goes into regeneration mode, which says, oh, you want to go slower? Let us take that kinetic energy and put it into potential energy, put it back into the battery, and it just goes into regeneration. Those are generators on all four wheels. And so it's a way to extend the range, but it also means you're not using your brakes. And so I know people tell me sometimes they play a game saying how many weeks they can go without touching the brakes.
The little game I play is being able to judge just right with that pedal so that I come to a stop at the traffic light or wherever I'm stopping without having to use the brake. And I got to say, I got pretty good at it over time, and it's just a little game to play. So let's say somebody, I mean, you've really listed out a lot of good stuff, good information about electric vehicles, great background. What are, you talked a bit about range anxiety, which I think is one of the kind of misconceptions people have in wondering about whether an electric car would work for them. What are some of the other misconceptions you see out there?
Well, let me tell you one more good thing before I tell you about misconceptions. So my sons, they both live in Boise, and their wives said, your dad is crazy. What's this thing about us driving electric cars and all that? But guess what they really love about those electric cars? Boise in the middle of the summer gets hot, really hot, like, you know, 100 degree hot, 105 degree hot. And so you have two little kids in the car, and you go into the store, and you come back out to the car, and it's not only 100 degrees in there, it's 120 degrees in there, you know, because you can't, you know, you obviously can lock the car and leave the windows, can't, you know, but not with an electric car. You can lock the car, the car is off, but you can leave the air conditioning going. And even if you leave it for an hour, you're talking about maybe using 10 cents worth of electricity. And you come back to a car that's 70 degrees. And they said, boy, that is so cool. You know, I mean, you just come back to a car, or in the middle of winter when it's zero, come back to a car that's warm. And so that is another feature, you know, because it's technically illegal, and not only that, a waste of gas, to leave a car running, a gas car, because the engine's running, and somebody could break in and steal your car. Plus, you've got the potential of all that, but not with an electric car, because technically the engine's not running. The air conditioning's running. It's running off the battery, and it's a separate, you know, unit. It doesn't run off the drivetrain. So, but the other misconception about electric cars is that, that you're going to have to change the battery every few years. You know, I personally don't know of anybody who's ever changed a battery. I think they're going to last 8, 10, 12 years, maybe even longer. And especially the new batteries. The new batteries with the new, not only the battery's better, but the battery management systems are better. So these cars, what really hurts a battery? Well, here in the Northwest, we don't have one of the two things that really hurt batteries, and that's extreme hot and extreme cold temperatures, especially extreme hot temperatures. A battery doesn't like to be too hot. And so we don't get that hot both in the air temperatures and all that. So, but the new battery management systems keep the car, the batteries from getting too hot. And they also, when you put the electricity in there, they also make sure that they you don't put it in too fast. You know, it'll only keep up to 80%, and then we know that the last 20%, it slows down. As you get closer to 100%, the fill rate slows down. But these battery management systems make sure that the batteries are never overcharged. And so the batteries last a lot longer. But after 10, 12 years, 14 years, if you have to replace the battery, again, the prices are going to be down by then. They're going to be more compact, more kilowatts per battery. But they're going to take these old batteries. They probably won't recycle them right away because say you had a 60 kW battery pack and it's now down to 30 kW. It still means you got 100 mile range, which is what I have, 30 kW. But say you wanted to change the battery. Well, that battery has now got 30 kW. It's going to be used for backup power for hospitals, for businesses, or even they're talking about utilities using them for electric storage to meet demand. So they'll be repurposed. Eventually, maybe 20, 30 years down the line, when they really don't have enough power left, then they'll be recycled for their minerals. So there's not a big battery recycling industry out there. It's just starting to begin because you can't have an industry until you have a product. And, you know, and these batteries, there's not a lot of people turning in batteries, you know, yet. And so they will be recycled. Not like those flashlight batteries where you bring it down to the, there's one or two that you're talking about hundreds of thousands of batteries. So.
Yeah, for sure. Let's talk a second. You've made some comments about the National Drive Week in Steilacoom. So could you go over again when the dates are? And I'm going to throw in also anybody who's interested in an electric car. You can't miss this event. So what all is going to happen there and the dates again?
So first of all, I'd like you to sign up. In fact, because of this meeting, I just finally signed up for the September meeting, and the website isn't live yet, but go to ndew.org, National Drive Electric Week, and type in Steilacoom. So you show up anytime between 11 and 3, unless you have an electric car like yours, I'd like you to be there with your car. Show up anytime between 11 and 3. There'll be vendors there. There'll be some food. There'll be it's all free for everybody. Everything's donated. You'll see all these cars lined up all downtown. It's closed off to traffic. You have to park someplace else in the town, and there's plenty of parking. And you'll see all these cars and owners standing by their cars and saying, "Oh, we got the Teslas, we got the Nissans, we got the Chevys, we got the Mitsubishis. You know, we got the motorcycles. You'll have the Pierce Transit bus. You'll have a Puget Sound Electric and Tacoma Power, all with their venues and with information and prizes and all that. It's just a festival. You know, it's just a fun festival. It's informative, and there's no charge unless you want to buy some coffee. And even then, last time we had somebody there open their business and was giving away free hot dogs and soda. So, you know, that's one of the local realtors. So, but National Drive Electric Week. So it's on September 11th on a Saturday. And it's at 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. So,
okay. Well, I'll certainly be signing up, and I'm sure looking forward to it. One of the things that I've done myself here fairly recently is that I bought an inverter for my car with a kit to connect it to my car, and I can use that electricity for emergency purposes, like keeping my refrigerator going, some lighting, and some other light loads like that. And so one of the things that I see with this this whole new technology kind of electric cars is that there are some ramifications that haven't really come into the consciousness yet, like using your battery for backup. Do you see any other things like that showing up on the horizon where we're using those batteries for something other than just moving our cars?
Yeah, in some parts of the nation, and not much here in the Northwest because we don't have huge demands of back and forth, but places like California, where in the summertime, especially around the middle of the day, they have, you know, real demands for air conditioning and all that. They're talking about using the power from cars to power the grid, and then in the evening when they have excess power, taking it back. Especially or places in the Southeast where the same thing, you know. And it's funny, Texas just had their challenge, and the challenge wasn't actually the windmills. The challenge was that the grid wasn't connected to the rest of the country and where they can move and transfer power. But usually in the Southwest southeast, Texas, and all those areas. It's air conditioning in the summer. And that's where they, at night, they have an excess of power. And during the day, they have a diminution of power. So the idea would be, and during the day, we're going to pay you 20 cents per your kilowatt hour. And then in the evening, we're going to sell it back to you at a nickel. And so you're going to make 15 cents on the differential if you have, you know, if you have spare in your car to use. And you, and if you had a 60 kW battery and you, you know, you could program it and say, yep, I'm going to give you 30 kW. You're going to make $4.50 that day. And so you, you're talking about making maybe $5 a day times 30 days, $150 a month. That almost make you like a car payment. So there's what's called the grid has power that is variable. We're lucky with hydro, it's variable, but it can be turned off. But nuclear power is like constant. You don't turn on and off nuclear power. Coal-fired plants, you got a coal-fired plant, it's going to be on. You don't, you turn it on and off. Here in the Northwest, we have hydro, which is a super battery. If you think about what hydro is, it's got all this water stored behind it, and you can turn on the generation on. By the way, one of the policy issues, and it's a really kind of a bad one for the Northwest, there's only two states in the union that don't consider hydro to be renewable, and that's Washington and Oregon. And why that is bad from the legislative point of view is they don't get the credits they need. So a lot of times we have surplus power that's coming out of hydro or biomass, and they ship it to California, where it's they get credit for being green energy, and they get, you know, paid a little extra money for it, where they don't get that here in the state of Washington. So we need to have that policy change. I know because some people in the political party I don't belong to think that dams are bad. You know, I think, you know, no, they can they're good. And I've even talked to the people that run these hydro systems. They say we can make improvements. If we were given this credit, we can make some improvements to even produce more energy, more efficient generators, and maybe even at times pump water from the lower dams to the upper dams when there's a surplus. You know, that's like storage. That's been done for years. I'm back when I was at University of Massachusetts Amherst, they had that up in Vermont, where they had a reservoir during the Connecticut River. They pumped the water from the Connecticut River up to this dam, which, you know, I think was up an elevation gain of about 300 to 400 feet. And they were able to, you know, they for every three units they put into it, they get two back, but it was electricity they were that was going to be thrown away. So it was kind of a really good deal. So they've been doing that since the 70s, using water as a quote, battery, a much cheaper battery than these, you know, building batteries. So,
but yeah, I think that's a great way of looking at it.
Yeah, the budget of the future, the battery's coming down, more people getting, the technology's getting better. And the other thing that people don't understand about electric cars, they are so fun to drive. The instant acceleration, especially for us guys, some women, it's incredible. I mean, you sit there, go, you step on it, and it just really moves. And, you know, that's why some, you talk to Tesla owners and they say, yeah, that's one reason we like to drive a Tesla. You know, we go to 0 to 60 in 3 seconds. And it's like, that's like a Ferrari speed, you know, and it's just incredible. It's just incredible how fast that, even a Chevy Bolt, it could do it in like 0 to 60 in 6 seconds. I think a Leaf is like 7 seconds. A lot of pickup. And so, which you don't know, but when you want to do something, it, and it's instant. It's not like you step on the gun and you get this little hesitation like you do in a car. It's just instant. It's, and it's all the time. It's never, you never have to worry about that gas car making a hiccup, you know, like you do sometimes with cars. It's just, it's a very fun vehicle to drive. They have low center of gravity, so they turn around the corners real well. They do really well in snow because the electric cars are heavy because, you know, like Chevy Bolt, 900-pound battery, and it's low on underneath the frame, so you have a low center of gravity, and your center of gravity is in the middle, not in the front where you normally have your engine. So they drive real well. They're very safe vehicles because of the extra weight and the way they're built around, and not having that engine in front. I know the Nissan Leaf has a 5-star rating for the driver and a 4-star rating overall. So it's safety. Insurance is cheaper. I was talking to the USAA insurance agent about this one time, and they said, so you know what when the last time a electric vehicle was stolen? And I go, when? He goes, never. And they're not stolen, because how do you steal one? What do you do? You know, jump start, you know, you have to. And then if you steal, what do you do with it? You know?
Yeah, there's a perspective I'd never thought of.
You know that stealing electric cars are even worth doing, you know, so that's part of it. They're easy to maintain. You get in an accident, it's usually don't have motor damage, you know, with it. So just, yeah, it's overall, it's just, they're the wave of the future. And I tell people, you know, the one big challenge we do have though right now, and that's why I'm really like businesses, that if you live in an apartment, you can't plug in at home unless you get an apartment there to have special parking with a special spot for you and having connected up somehow to electricity. That's going to be a challenge. I see in the future, you have a Chevy Bolt with a 250-mile range, and you're going to get your electricity from work, where your place of work is going to say, as a benefit, we'll give you $10 or $15 a month worth of electricity if you work here, and I will have a level 2 charger and a special parking spot for you all. And I think, so that's what I had when it was Olympia. Now, one funny story, I got appointed first, and then I was reelected 2014-16. I got to meet with the governor, Inslee, and we got to talking. We talked about wrestling. We talked about basketball. And he says, is there anything I can do for you? I go, yes, governor. I drive an electric car, and there's only 3 electric charging stations, and I'm the 4th guy driving electric. And he looked at me and he goes, another one of you? He says, what's all you Republicans driving electric? I said, well, we're doing it because we save money, and it's good for the environment, and it's good for, and then you go, oh, yeah, yeah, I understand all that. Within 2 weeks, they had a whole line of electric plug-in stations there. But we only had 4 of us, and we had now had, I think, 8. And they said, well, build it and they will come. Those filled up, and now they have another 6 down below. So they have like 15 plug-in stations down there. But the neat thing was I could drive to work. I used about 25% of my battery, and then I plug in, and then I go back at home. I was 100%. So I never got behind the power curve. And the reason it was important, if I was down to 75%, and then say somebody said, hey, there's a big function going on in Puyallup, well, now I couldn't maybe do that. Then now I'm talking about having range anxiety. I was pushed the limit. But if I was 100%, now I have more options. So it's really good to have plug-in at work. I think, you know, whether it's the Amazons of the world or business, this is going to become an employee benefit. The other thing is we do have a thing called, we haven't talked about, PHEVs, P-H-E-V, plug-in hybrid electric vehicles. Those meet a function, especially if somebody was in an apartment. I would say you maybe want to think about getting a PHEV, a plug-in hybrid electric vehicle, and that's like the Prius Prime, or they don't make them anymore, but the Chevy Volt, Mitsubishi Outlander with 35 miles, the Chrysler Pacifica. I have a friend of mine. She's got 4 kids. Got a Chrysler Pacifica, goes 35 miles on the battery. And then if she uses up the battery, then it goes to gas. But when she does her morning drive to the kids and the schools and all this kind of stuff. She gets home, she's just about out of electricity, and she plugs in, does her stuff. And then she repeats in the afternoon. She said, very rarely do I use any gas. And this is a minivan. So, but you never had, with a plug-in hybrid, you never have range anxiety, because if you run out of electricity, then it goes to gas. So it's like an electric vehicle with training wheels. And for some people, that's important, because they want to have options, especially if they also want to go around the nation and do something, and they don't want to have to worry about plugging in until the system becomes more robust. Now, unless you're a Tesla driver, which now we're talking about premium vehicles, Tesla has the best electric vehicle network. They were smart. You can go anywhere in this country, and there's charging stations everywhere. And Tesla has spent billions of dollars to make that network, and it's proprietary to Tesla. So, you know, you just can't use it if you're driving your Chevy Bolt, as when I found getting from here, from Steilacoom to Boise. I bought the Chevy Bolt for my son. There was a reason I bought it here. First of all, I got the $7,500 tax credit, and he wasn't quite completely eligible for it. And the cheapest Chevy Bolt we could get in Boise was $42,000, and I got it for $32,000. got the $7,500 tax credit. So for $25,000, I gave my son a loan. He's paying me back still, but I bought it here and then transferred it to Boise. But I could not get to Boise, Idaho, all the way. We had to in LeGrand. He had to come get me with his truck and trailer. So because there was no level 3 chargers along the way. That has changed. That was back in 2018, and the network for level 3 chargers starts in Vancouver, British Columbia, all the way to San Diego. You can go I-5, no problem. But try to go east on 84, not so good. But that is changing. But I was on the way there, we drive by all these. Tesla had a dozen charging stations in Pendleton, a dozen charging stations in Baker, a dozen in Boise. You know, it's a little different. Yeah. But
my partner's she's purchasing a brand new Ford Mustang, an electric Mustang. In fact, we're going to go look at it on Monday. And Ford is going to be building a network of over 15,000 high-speed charging stations. So, and those are not going to be proprietary to Ford. Anybody that's got a level 3 capability can plug into them. So, you know, the logistics are going to get better over time. I mean, the first gasoline cars probably had to worry a lot about where am I going to get gas to. So that'll come along. Well, we're getting close to out of time here, Dick. A couple thoughts. Hey, I really appreciate your enthusiasm for electric cars, an enthusiasm that I share. I do think that there is so much good about them that people who take a closer look are probably going to end up in an electric car. And another point that you kind of parenthetically made, which I think is an important one, you refer to the fact that you're a Republican or not a member of the other party. And so the point there that I take away is that things like this electric vehicle and having a clean environment, they're not necessarily left or right issues. There's aspects of all of those that appeal to people all over the political spectrum. And I think it's a big mistake to talk about things like electric vehicles in a kind of a left-right perspective. I mean, you love them. I love them.
Oh, I agree.
So, all right. Well,
there is a little difference in policy for, you know, the Republican Democrats as far as electric vehicles, as far as where we try to emphasize. And again, there's a few, not that there isn't any differences, but it's all good in the end. We all should be driving electric vehicles. We should. And for people who don't because they have an excuse, I usually can, with a few little conversations, I can dissuade them from having that excuse. I said, you can do it. Just do it. And so, you know, it's like the old Nike thing. Just do it.
Yep. Well, I've followed that philosophy over the years, and sometimes it's worked and sometimes it hasn't, of just doing it. So, but I think with electric vehicles, I agree with you. Let's just do it. So, Dick, I'm going to have show notes with this. So I'll definitely put links to, the event in Silicon on September 11. I'll look forward to that. And anything else you want to say here before we sign off?
No, it's just, I'd love to see you on September 11th just come on down and have some fellowship. It will be a fun day. You'll learn a lot, and you get to see we have great museums and great views down here, which I can see from my house right now, looking out that window. It's a wonderful time, and you'll appreciate what you'll learn. And I think by September 12th, you'll be wanting to drive electric.
Okay, awesome. Okay, thanks again for being with us, Dick, and take care.
Appreciate it. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Well, there we go. Great talking to Dick. What a dynamic guy. Knows a lot about electric vehicles and a lot of practical knowledge about them as well. Really looking forward to his event on September 11 down there in Silicon, focused on electric vehicles. I'll have a link to that point where you can get more information, where you can sign up. I'll have that in the show notes. You can find those at ccltacoma.org. The CCL part stands for Citizens Climate Lobby. I am an activist with Citizens Climate Lobby. It's a good outfit. Check it out. Might find something there of value. And you can also contact me via email anytime, John, J-O-H-N, info@ccltacoma.org. Okay, well, there you are, and here I am, wishing you, as always, live like the mountain is out. Take care now.